Amen. Hey, y'all, it's Valentine's week. Nobody, we're going to focus on the Lord this week. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be here in the house of the Lord. It's good to see several back in our midst. It's good to see Sister Janice. It's good to see Sister Campbell with us. We've been praying, so it's good to have those in our fellowship. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, it's our prayer and our intention that you'll give your life to Jesus Christ for it's everlasting too late. In order for you to become a child of God, you must believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And if you believe that Jesus resurrected so that you could be free, then what he's asking for you to do is believe that with all of your heart. If you'll be willing to repent and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then by his commandment, Mark 16:16, the Bible says, he that and is shall be saved. That promise is to you, to your children, and all to who are far off. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but maybe it's something you said or something that you've done that has not been pleasing and acceptable unto God, then he's asking for you to repent. There's no reason that any one of us should stay in sin. We all have the opportunity this morning to be right with God, in good standing with God, if we would humble ourselves and approach the throne of grace. Amen? With a smile on your face, please stand with me. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and beginning at verse 8. First Peter chapter 4 and beginning at verse 8. Please read silently as I read aloud. And the Bible says, and above all things, there are a lot of things. But as you count all things, above all things, have fervent charity. Have fervent love. Charity means love. Matter of fact, when somebody says, what charity are you a part of? If you actually look at the definition of charity, the definition of charity is love. So if somebody says, I'm involved in a charity, that means you're giving something. So the Bible says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sin. If you have love and you enter into somebody's life, something, some error in their life should be covered by the love you bestow. There was a favorite movie, Don't Judge Me. There was a favorite movie, very popular, top 10. I want to put it in the top 10 movies of all time. When I was growing up, Don't Judge Me, it was Beauty and the Beast. I don't know, growing up, I had Disney time. It was Disney time, so Beauty and the Beast. And I'm talking about the classic. I don't know what they're doing now on stage, but I'm talking about the classic when it first hit the cartoon. One of the problems with the Beast is that he had a lot of possessions, but he didn't get along with nobody. He was mean. He was hateful. He did cruel things. He growled. He chased after people. Matter of fact, he was such a terror that the people of the town wanted to kill him. And then one day, this little girl, I don't know where she came from, this little girl came in his life. And she didn't take anything from him. She didn't want the house. She wasn't trying to work the deed. She wasn't in his accounts. She didn't want his clothes. She just was nice to him. She just loved him. And do you know, at the end of the movie, when he realized that she just loved him, not for his stuff, not for material things, that she just loved him, that he turned into another man? Come on, sister. He turned into another. He became another man. And the beast that was in him went away. Maybe the reason why some of us are mean and cruel and hateful is maybe you ain't got no love in your life. So this morning we're going to study God's love. And hopefully we'll take a few steps closer to the cross. I'll go through various scriptures and I'll make various illustrations. But our purpose and intent is that hopefully at the end we'll all take a few steps closer to the cross. Lifting up holy hands as we pray. Holy and righteous Father, be with us as we study this morning. Bless your word and let it dwell in us. Forgive us for any sins that we've committed in word, thought, and deed, and help us, dear Father, that we'll draw and walk closer to you. We thank you for loving us, dear Father, for if it wasn't for your love, we would be different people. In your holy and in your righteous name we pray. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to love you anyway. Don't go nowhere. Bless you. Hey, and then say, huh. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, Jesus, blessed Savior, he is worthy to be praised. Him. Praise him. Romans chapter 13. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he is worthy to be. Here we are in Romans chapter 13, and we're going to begin at verse 8. Romans chapter 13 and begin at verse 8. Romans chapter 13, and we're going to begin at verse 8. As we're going to continue our series dealing with thirsty for love, dealing with thirsty for love, we have to get our proper definition. One of the problems that we have in many of our relationships is that your definition of love is not necessarily my definition of love. So if I'm looking for love from you, I'm looking actually for my definition. But if I never tell you my definition, then you will only give me your definition. If you grew up in a context where loving was one another, you never said it to each other. I don't have to tell you that I love you. I'll just hug you and I'll just take care of responsibility. Hey, I paid the bills. I ain't got to tell you I love you. Hey, where you get that milk from? That milk is love. Every time you open that refrigerator, you need to feel the love. Just open it and feel it. I don't need to say anything. Some people grew up in a context where there was affection. I was talking to a lady just on last week. She says, you know what? I knew my father loved me. He was one of the greatest men that I knew, but he never said it. She said, it wasn't until I was an adult that I went to my father and I said, Daddy, I love you. And he said, mm-hmm, all right, bye. And she would say him again. She said, Daddy, I love you. All right, baby. Daddy, I love. She said she kept having to say it over and over again to the point where one day when he said it back, it blew her away. She found out that his mother, her grandmother, was a mean woman and never told him she loved him. So he was trying to the best of his ability to show love to his daughter, but it wasn't until she got older and experienced other levels of love and other expressions of love that she turned to her father and she began to, sometimes the children will teach the adult. She turned to her father and began to show an expression of love that actually he never experienced. And now to this day, they say, I love you to one. Just even the word, the expression, I love you to one another. But she said, I had to work on my daddy. Don't get me wrong. I knew he loved me. He just didn't, in his definition, saying it was not in his definition. And so there are some people, there was a lady one time, she says, listen, I love him, but I don't understand why he don't really commit to me. After a while, finding out she wasn't an affectionate person. She wasn't an affectionate person. She ain't like holding hands. She didn't like holding and hugging and all that February stuff. She didn't like all that February stuff. And so in his definition, she don't really care about me. I mean, she called me, she talked, she check on me, she do that, but because she never hold my hand, she never hugs me, she's never affectionate, well then she doesn't love me. So then he backed away from her. She was devastated because she didn't get it. She says, I don't understand why he, because she never tapped into his definition. There was another woman, her definition was sex. So if you have sex with me, you have love with me. And so when he didn't want to have sex, she says, well, he don't love me. She had a wrong, don't we all have definitions? We all have these definitions of love. But if I don't take the time to sit down and talk with you, I'll never tap into your definition. And sometimes our definitions are wrong, which is why we keep coming in bad cycles of relationships, because we have bad definitions. So you think you're advertising love, and you're advertising free service. Whatever that, y'all apply that wherever y'all want to apply that. You advertising one thing, and you think you're advertising love, but actually you're advertising something else. And so at the end of the day, you never experience love, because what you didn't realize is that you were never showing it. The Bible says God is what? So as Christians, we understand if you don't start with God, then all your definitions are off. So here we are. The Bible says in verse 8. In Romans, in verse 8, the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath what? My love, and we ended this off on last Sunday, my love is not supposed to have a hook in it. My love is not supposed to have a hook in it. I'm not supposed to manipulate you so that you can love me. I'm not supposed to do little things to keep you around, because love is never forced. It's always free. If you can keep love free, it'll always be pure. But when you have to manipulate, when you have to, hey, listen, I'm going to do this for you, but you know you got to come see me later. That ain't love. That's boomerang. That ain't, that's something else. That ain't love. If you do something and you keep a record so that you can get them to do something else for you, the Bible says love keeps no what? Love keeps no record. Some of you have a long list of what you've done for other people. Do you know what I've done for you? I've done this for you. I did this. I washed your clothes. Listen, when you wash those clothes, go ahead and wipe your mirror. I wish on Men in Black, when they had the little, I wish we passed that around in the church so we can love purely. Because when you do something and you keep a record, and then I vac and I keep a record, and then I bought you, I put gas in you, and I keep a record, and at the end of the day, you better do something good for me at the end, because I done a whole bunch. That ain't love. That ain't love. Hey, you know what? And you'll get a big gift, and it'll be nice, and it'll be nice and shiny, but you know what? It won't be given in love. Do you know people give gifts to people they don't love? Anybody? I got a witness? Do you know you can get a beautiful gift from someone who only likes you? And sometimes, if you're not careful in marriage, you'll give gifts to somebody that you tolerate. All right, happy birthday. Right? Like it? You're good? We're good? You want some cake? You're good? Everything? But and the love is dying. So that's why the Bible says, "Oh, no man anything. What I do for you, I don't have to do for you. What I do for you, I don't even want you to keep a record of it. I don't even want you to remember anything, because love is supposed to be what? Love is supposed to be free." So on this morning, I want to talk about a dysfunctional kind of love. I want to talk about a dysfunctional kind of love. I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham," we're in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and get thee out from thy kindred and from your father's house unto a land I will show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You will be a blessing. "I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curse thee. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, when the Bible says in verse 2, if you go back to verse 2, now the Bible says, "I'm going to make you a great nation." Abraham at this time has no child. So he's married. He is married, but he has no child. And so in verse 2, when God says, "I'm going to make you a great nation," you have to understand in verse 2, God is saying, in his old age, you're going to have a child. I'm going to give you a child. That's the promise from God. I'm going to give you a child. Move your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, some years have passed, some time had passed, and here we are in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a" what? "In a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me?" Now, here's the disrespectful thing in verse 2. God said in verse 1, "I am your" what? "I am your exceeding great reward." God says, "Listen, Abram, I'm here and I'm with you. I'm the reward." In verse 2, Abram doesn't get it. Because he says in verse 2, "Lord God, what will you" what? Have you ever tried to tell somebody, "Listen, you got everything you need. I'm here." And they keep asking for something. You say, no, I'm here. I'll take care of it. Yeah, but how are we going to do it? Listen, I'm here. I'm the reward. God said, "Listen, I am what you've been looking for. I am your missing piece. I am your missing piece." Abram doesn't get it. He hears what God says and says to God, "But what will you give me?" He says, "Seeing that I go childless and the steward, that's Eleazar, is the only man in the house that is of command that has a son." So here's what Abram said. "If I die, all my stuff gonna go to Eleazar. Eleazar worked for me. He ain't even part of the family. He just worked for me. Matter of fact, he out there working right now. If I die right now, Eliezer finna get my stuff. So God, what will you give me? I remember you promised me that you were going to give me a child in chapter 12. I'm in chapter 15 of my life, and I still don't have what you promised me." Now, the Bible says that God promised Abram a child. Just by math, and we know by science and all that other stuff, it takes, I know some people today like to act like it's immaculate conception. No, somebody was there. We don't may not know who it is, but it takes two. It takes two people. So when God promised Abram, he also promised Sarah. So as Abram has to be faithful to God, Sarah also has to be faithful to God. Now, here's how God troubled their marriage. If God would have never spoken chapter 12, then Sarah would have never needed to produce anything. more in the relationship. We could have just been content just like it is, and we could have just lived on the rest of our life just like this. But when God spoke and started giving promises, now I gotta have more faith, and Abram, you gotta have more faith. So they're going along in their marriage. That was chapter 12. They're going along in chapter 13. In chapter 13, they have some relational problems. He lied about the relationship and said he wasn't married. That's for those of you who didn't get a chance to read on this past week. That's what later on in chapter 12 and 13, it moves on. And so he lied. The king asked him, hey, man, is that your wife? Is that your wife? I don't know. No brothers in here have ever done that. Hey, is that your wife? No, I don't know. That's not. That's what he did. That's what Abraham did. He said, no, that's not. I don't. No, no, that's my sister. He said, you sure that's your sister? Yeah. That's my sister. I'm not married. The king said, okay, well, if that's your sister, do you mind if I? I'm in the Bible. This is scripture. I don't have time to read it. You can go read it when you go home. He said, do you mind if I talk to her? The cold thing was Abram said, yeah, I mean, cool. You can. The Bible says that the king didn't get an opportunity to get with her that night, but he put her up. He put her up in a chamber, in one of the rooms in the house. You got to read your Bible. You really got to read your Bible. He put her up in one of, but I guess he was tired from the day. He was going to get to her tomorrow and decided to go to sleep. The Bible says that God came to the king in a dream that night and said, you got a married woman in your house. And if you don't get her out, I'm going to kill you. The next morning, that king woke up. Hey, if y'all don't get out of here. Why did you lie to me? He asked Abel, why did you lie to me? He said, I was, matter of fact, you got to read it. Some of y'all think I'm lying. Very quickly, go back to chapter 12. Go back to chapter 12. And the Bible says in verse 17 of chapter, matter of fact, go up to verse 13. Say, I pray thee, you are my sister, that it may be well for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of you. I'm talking about this morning, a dysfunctional kind of love. He said, I'm going to tell you that you're my sister so that I can preserve myself. That ain't love. The Bible says in verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. They start having trouble. A plague hit the house. And God said, you listen, you got a married woman in your house. And the Bible says, verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you've done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was your... Y'all see that in verse 18? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Bible said they went a little on. You know, they had some marriage problems. They had some, you know, some relationship problems. And that's chapter 12. They move on. Chapter 13, they're traveling alone. One of the first times really in their life, they've separated themselves. All their marriage, they've been in his father's house. So now they're having a little trouble because now in the first time, they're away from family and it's just them. And they're trying to navigate and trust God. So now we're back to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, he goes to God and says, listen, I still don't have that child. You know, me and Sarah, we've been trying. But we still don't have that child. Like, you know, it's starting to become a weight. It's starting to become a weight because we're getting older. And it's starting to become a weight on the relationship. What I'm trying to say is there's something that's missing in the relationship. And my wife is trying to provide it. And I don't know if it's me. I'm trying to do the best I can. But there's something missing in the relationship. Listen, I love her. And we repented for that thing back in chapter 12. You know, we're trying to get that. We didn't move on from that. We better now. But there's something in our relationship. There's a hole in our relationship that's missing. And we're trying to fill it. But for some reason, it doesn't matter how hard we try. That hole in the relationship is still there. That's chapter 15. He goes to God, and in chapter 15 he says, in verse 2, Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Eleazar, verse 3, Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one who is born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, now look toward the what? He said, so very quickly, he said, come here. God said to Abram, come here. I want you to look outside. I want you to look up at the stars, and I want you to try to count the stars. You see that in the text? He said, count the stars, and if you're able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. He says, you're going to have as many children as the stars. Now, that's very difficult, because now that when you 80, 90 years old, and you talking about all them kids, can you imagine the weight that Sarah must have felt as an older woman after Abraham had this conversation with God? Hey, God said, you're going to produce the star. Can you imagine? My husband wants something, and I don't know if I can give it to him. He's anticipating, but I don't know if I can provide it. God is pressuring me to be this woman that I never asked to be. And the only reason I'm out here is because God spoke with him, and because I'm with him, I had to leave too. What I'm trying to tell you is, in our marriage, there's something missing, and I don't know how to fill it. I don't know how to fix it, and I don't know how to make it better. I have my husband looking at the servants of the house and making comments that when we die, probably all this will go to him, because he's looking at me to give him something that I don't have. Isn't that difficult? When somebody wants something from you, that's like somebody coming to me when I was young and say, listen, I want you to be on the honor roll. Listen, we can't be in a relationship then. That's not my life situation. I've never seen the honor roll. I don't even know what that roll is. I know cinnamon rolls. I don't know honor rolls. When somebody says, listen, hey, I want you to be tall and dark. I got the dark part. I don't know what to do. What do you do when somebody wants something from you? I don't have. I can't give that to you. Here we are in chapter 16. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 16. Now, verse 1. Now, Sarah's, Abram's wife, bear him no children. Chapter 15, God said, hold on, I'm going to give it to you. If you have faith, I'll fill that hole. Chapter 16, more time has passed, and we still got this hole in our marriage. We're trying to love each other over the hole. Have you ever tried to love somebody over a hole? And the Bible says they still, she bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go unto my handmaid, and it may that I may obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah, And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maiden, the Egyptian, and Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And when he went in unto Hagar, she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you. And Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it please you. And when Sarah dwelt hardly with her, Hagar fled from her face. I don't want to talk about Sarah this morning. I really want to talk about Hagar. Abram and Hagar have been dwelling in the same environment. He saw Hagar. She's a younger woman. She's a younger woman. Abram is an old man. He's an old man. Hagar is a much younger woman. Probably beautiful. Abram and Hagar got married. And after they got married, she got pregnant. And I'm not going to keep you long. If you was to approach Hagar, and if you was to ask Hagar, are you married? Hagar would say, yes, I'm married. Who is your husband? Abraham is my child's father. I'm with Abraham. If you was to ask Sarah, who is your husband? Sarah would tell you, Abram is my man. You would say, Sarah, do you love Abraham? Yeah, we done been through many things together. I love Abraham. If you was to ask Abraham, who is your wife? He would tell you, Sarah is my wife. Sarah's my wife. That's my woman. It's my rib. If you was to ask Abraham, well, who is Hagar? It maybe should be explained like this. Me and my wife love each other, but there's something missing. And my wife can't give me that one little thing, that one area that I'm looking for. So, Hagar can do what my wife can't do. Hagar can provide me what my wife can't provide me. The only reason I was attracted to Hagar, the only reason I went toward Hagar, is because of something that was missing. It was a piece. It was a piece that was missing. Sarah has many wonderful qualities. She's a good woman. She's loyal. She stuck by me when God spoke and we had to leave and walk out. She didn't fight me. She's been with me all of this time. But it was just a piece of our relationship that's missing. And we tried to go to the Lord about it. But when we went to God about it, the only thing that we got from God was trust in him. But by the time you get to chapter 16, Sarah says, listen, God ain't going to let me do it. The problem with Sarah and the problem being connected with somebody who don't know God is they lead you away from God. And because Sarah did not have enough faith in God, she's now a liability to be connected to. Because the only reason that Hagar comes on the scene is because Sarah is not spiritual. When a woman is not spiritual, she will even bring a godly man down. But when a woman is spiritual, she can turn a pimp into a preacher. She can take a bomb and make him a congressman. She can make a thug and turn him and move him into the government. But when a woman is not spiritual, she'll take the strongest man and expose him to darkness. She spoke unto him and she said, God ain't gonna let me. And the Bible says Abram did what to her? He listened to her. Even though God had spoke to him, he was influenced by somebody who wasn't as spiritual. It's a liability. If you looked at Hagar, what is your role? Are you together because of love? No, you're not together because of love. The reason I'm here is because he had something missing over there. What I want to tell you this morning, it's almost like this. Y'all know I love restaurants. I love restaurants, but there are different types of restaurants. There are different types of restaurants. When you go to a restaurant, and you're on the go, and you don't have a lot of time, you stay in your car. You stay in your car. And they have something called a drive-thru. They have something called a drive-thru. The sign is on the outside. You don't have to get out. The sign is on the outside. You go through the drive-thru, and you speak, and they'll have a little thing, and you just tell them what. You just tell them what you want. You just tell them what you want. But there are sometimes I've already eaten. There are sometimes that I've already eaten. And I don't know if you realize something about menus. They divide menus into sections. You have your desserts. You have your drinks. You know, like the lemonade. All right. Amen. The juice. They have the appetizers. They have the appetizers. All right. Then they have the main course. Could you pull that up, please? And then they have the sides. Yeah, they have the sides. Now, I want you to notice something. Some of y'all are getting hungry right now. It's okay. I'm not going to keep you long. There's something I want you to see about the sides. These are not main courses. They're sides. They belong. I don't know if you know. Even some of the kids saying, I get it. I get it. I'm trying to watch my speech. I'm trying. Yeah, I get it. I get it, Brother Williams. They don't belong in the center. They're not the main. You can actually do without. Matter of fact, sides are interchangeable. Sides are interchangeable. And then there's a main course. There's a main course. These are not main courses. These are not main. Matter of fact, the sides come in a smaller portion than the main course. Because the sides are not supposed to overshadow the main course. So what you don't ever want to be in somebody's life. You don't ever want to be a side piece. You don't want to be nobody's side piece. Because they don't even get out the car. They say what they want, and it's only to nibble. When somebody goes through a drive-thru and just orders sides, it means they're really already full. They just want something to nibble on. The problem is, when you are a side piece and you think you're an entree, and you don't understand why you keep, if your Valentine's Day is celebrated on the 16th, you're a side piece. You're a side piece. If your Valentine's Day is celebrated tomorrow, you're a side piece. Because the entree gets the 14th. Side pieces get other times. And hey, listen, if somebody tells you my schedule won't allow it, then we're going to have to celebrate next year. But I'm not going to be pushed to the, I'm not going to be pushed to the side. Sarah would tell you, I know who she is. Sarah would tell you, I know who she is. I know where she lives. I know where she works. She'll never be the entree. I'm the entree. She's just a... I love them Cajun fries. But I promise you, I'll never pick those Cajun fries over that chicken. And you know what? They can make them a little bigger. But they're still in the category of sides. Never get in a relationship with anybody who needs you. Because that's not love. Don't forget the scripture. Owe no man what? But if somebody comes to you and say, I need you. They're trying to fill a hole. And they'll hold on to you, not because they love you. They'll hold on to you because they need you to fill up the plate. Instead of waiting on God to fill it, they went out and filled it with something they were never supposed to fill it with. God doesn't do sides. Because he says, I'm your exceeding. You don't need sides. Sometimes the steak is so, I don't know if you had a, sometimes the steak is so good. Have you ever just ordered a steak and said, I'm done? No, that right there. I was in downtown Dallas. The guy said, hey, listen, I got something on the menu. We don't even put it on the menu. Actually, it's not even on the menu. But our chef, he does. You got to taste it. I said, okay. But can I still have some ranch? He said, you won't need the ranch, sir. I said, but I still want some ranch. He said, okay. He said, could you do me a favor? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, if you could just take a few bites before you put it in the ranch. Then after that, you can do whatever you want to do. I said, okay. He said, now it's expensive. He said, it's expensive. But he said, trust me. You won't be disappointed. I said, okay, cool. So I ordered it. I'm at the, and he brings it. And I said, okay. And I cut into it. I said, this steak is different than the one at Golden Corral. I slid into it and it laid down. I said, what's going on? It laid, that steak laid down. I said, and then, you know, when you're in a nice place because the waterfall was the I put my fork in it. I said, I bit into it. The flavor. I said, you're right. Now, you know, y'all know I put ranch on everything. I said, but this is amazing. This steak? I said, it's a man. I just enjoyed it all by myself. I really didn't need anything else. And you know, that's strange for me. because I get a whole bunch of other stuff. And I realized something. Sometimes we fill up our lives with sides because we're not willing to be patient and wait on something that's beautifully made. Because when you receive something that is beautifully made, you don't need a whole bunch of sides. You don't need all that extra. Do you know why? Do you know why some people reach out and they start and they get in a relationship and they start talking to other people? It's because something is missing. You know why people get dressed up in the middle of the night and they get dressed up in the middle of the night and they go out and they're just looking for people. they go to where a bunch of other people are and they don't know nobody there, but they just want to. They're missing something. That loneliness. There's something that's missing. And instead of going home and putting on some clothes and waiting on God to fill it, you out there looking for sides. And you know what, good and well in the back of your mind, ain't nothing in here, Andre. But you know what? You can fill the rest of your life with sides. I have friends, they go from woman to woman to woman to woman to woman to woman to woman, and they've been doing it for many years. You could fill your whole life up with sides. I saw one, I was in Houston, I saw one a few years ago, and he was actually my uncle's friend. He's always been fly. Now he fly with gray hair. He old enough to be my father. Still pimping. I said, look. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, you'll never know what love is. The way you keep running after sides, and there are some beautiful sides. Beautiful sides. But anything that ain't whole will always keep you thirsty for love. And sometimes the reason why somebody can't give you all of their love is because they have a Sarah in their life. And instead of trusting God, now notice, some of the best relationships in the Bible have holes in it. Still have a hole in it. Abraham and Sarah is a God-ordained relationship and marriage, and they are both walking with God. The only reason another woman came in is because on the journey of a God-given relationship, Sarah lost faith and Abraham got distracted. And in this God-given relationship, there's still a hole in the marriage. And if you can't make it over the holes, you'll always fall. Because you'll use your own energy to try to provide it. Sarah was not the helpmate that God wanted her to be. An image or a picture of a helpmate. Have you ever been in a traffic and the person in front of you, the light is green, but the car in front of you won't go? So you honk, you roll your window down, you scream like some of you do, you scream, you throw a tantrum. Some of you ball your fist up and you start cussing and you start doing, and after you finish screaming and honking and the car just blinking, it ain't going nowhere. After you do all that screaming and yelling and kicking and you know what happens to that car? Nothing. It's still stuck. You know why? Because in order for that car to move, it's going to need somebody to get out and help move. In order for that car to get out of its situation, it needs a helpmate. Sarah wasn't a helpmate. Matter of fact, she took out the air out the tires and made it worse. The relationship she pushed her husband to go into, and the child that was conceived, years later, those two families start to fight. One, people died years later because of that relationship. All because she was trying to fill a hole that only God could fill. There are some areas of your life only God can fill that hole. But if you bring somebody into your life because you need them, that ain't real love. That's just you trying to fill up a gap. Have anybody ever felt used? It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? That you didn't give in the best of you, and you all engaged, and you only realizing when somebody says, "I only need you for the weekend," they trying to fill a gap. When they don't, you could tell when somebody don't give their whole heart. Because they don't really need to give their whole heart. They're trying to fill gap. Do you know how many people in the world today trying to fill gaps? That's why, church, we got to be real careful as saints and even watch out for one another. Because something that feels good, you could just be a gap filler. And you think you're an entree. And you telling everybody, "Oh, we got this beautiful plate." And all your friends say, "Hey, you're 2-for-1. And it lessens your value. I'm saying hearts get broken. Lives get changed. Your view of God and love can be distorted based upon how somebody treats you. There's no kind of pain like pain that's in love. There's no kind of pain when you find out you've been mistreated or you've been played over. Nobody wants to be played. Nobody wants to be manipulated. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. But one of the hardest things to do, and don't be like Sarah and be like, "I know who she is." All for the sake of, "I'm gonna make him happy." All of this is a dysfunctional kind of love. Brothers, if you're in a relationship, and you just doing anything to make her happy, that ain't love. That's robot. Whatever she want. Oh, whatever she want. Okay, well. What? Just tell me what you, I'll do it. That's not love. You're quitting. That's a servant. What's the difference between a servant and a husband? For some of y'all sisters who don't know, it's a vast difference. It's a vast difference. It's not the same. There's a difference between a servant and a husband. But when you do your best to try to fill that gap, it's hard for both parties to come together and say, "We got to get closer to God and trust." Because maybe the gap is not going to be filled by God in chapter 16. Do you have enough faith to walk through your gaps? Brother Williams, I'm lonely. Do you have enough faith to walk through your gaps and be... You know what? I pray everybody have a pure week this week. This week. I don't know what you did last week. But this week, I hope everybody's week is pure. That you don't settle for a fake love. You don't settle just to fill a gap. Because the gap that they tried to fill, now they got a child. And now you got to deal with being in a loveless relationship. Because at the end of the day, what did Abraham say? "Well, Sarah, you can do whatever you want with her. Because I really never loved her. It was really just about you. And if we would have gotten our situation straight with God, we would have never brought this child into the world, and we would have never broken her heart." So now Hagar is running because she realized, "I'm not loved in this place. And I was only used." When you're healthy and you're clear about what God has called you to do, I went to a restaurant and I'm done. I went to a restaurant. And I said, "Hey, do y'all have any sweet potato fries? I like fries, but I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood for some. sweet potato fries. And they said, I'm sorry, sir. We took that off the menu. See, I did what? We no longer provide that as a side. It has been decided that it's no longer on the menu. You're gonna have to pick something else. What I'm trying to tell you on this morning, take yourself off the menu. You are no longer used or will be provided to fill somebody's gap. There are some people who call you only to fill a gap. There are some people who only reach out to you because you're a gap filler. And you think by showing them something or giving them something that they're going to transition you to be an entree. Sides never get transitioned to be entrees. So if you don't hear anything else I'm saying, I hope this part blesses you. When you're trying to raise your price and you're trying to move from a side to an entree, there are some people who will reject you. There are some people who will reject you. Because when they first met you, they met you as a side. When you got in tune with your value, you said, I need to get off of this section and I need to move and I need to raise my value. Sometimes in order to do that, you gotta leave some people alone. Because there are some people, they will only see you as a side. They'll never see you as a wife. They will never see you as a spouse. Because that's not what you first advertised, and that's not why I first came. When you give yourself cheap, it's hard to come back the next day and raise the price on them biscuits from Popeyes that I bought. No, wait a minute. Just yesterday, I got these same biscuits for cheap. How would you feel if you went to Popeyes and they say, each biscuit is now $10? Are the biscuits good? Yeah, but because you got them for cheap, it's hard for you to switch in your mind and say, I'll pay the $10, because when you first introduce, what I'm saying is, don't walk around with a sign for cheap. Because people treat you how they see you and how you advertise yourself. Raise your price. And when you raise your price, the place that I went that had the steak, they knew that everybody wasn't gonna come and eat it at their table. But they weren't going to lower the price because they knew their value. And when you know your value, you don't give coupons. Don't tell me to have all of you. All I got to do is pay for dinner. Don't tell me that your body is worth pasta. Oh, and lemonade. Don't tell me that access into your life, all it requires is a body part. You're cheap. Don't ever, all the things that God has given you, don't go out and leave this room and sell it for cheap. You are expensive. Brother Williams, why you preach on it? Because I want everybody to walk out of these doors with your head up. I want everybody to walk out of here and look through your phone and start deleting people out your phone. Anybody who tries to treat you like the bottom of a menu, you need to walk away from it. We are no longer serving that. Willie Williams is no longer a side. Now, I've never been a side. I just want to let you. I never been a side. But I never, remove yourself. Raise your value and accept that some people won't like you raising your own price. The gaps that are in your life is going to require faith for you to walk through it. If you are able to suffer for a season, God will bless you with what you're looking for. He will give you everything that you desire. He will give you the love that you're looking for. He'll give you the relationships that the family that you're looking for. Everything that you're looking for. Now, it may not look like you think it should look. The family that you're looking for may not be blood. The relationship that you're looking for, it may not be romantic. But God will fill those gaps and provide everything that you need. It is when you don't have enough faith. That's when you start looking to love somebody out of a need. And when somebody needs you, they hold on to you like they love you. When really it's a lack of faith. Because if you leave, then I gotta have faith in God. As long as you staying around, I don't have to have faith in God. Don't ever be in somebody's life and block their blessing. Somebody, don't ever sit in another man's seat. Don't ever sit in another woman's seat. Somebody else is supposed to be sitting here, but the only reason I'm sitting here is because you're a gap filler. Some of the best things that you can do for people is walk out their life. Trust God. Trust God and let God do that. And don't feel like you God's gift to the neighborhood. All these people need love. I'm just here to give love. I just want to love everybody. Everybody. You're not God's gift. God created you not to free you. You are not supposed to be a sample. God created you for devotion and commitment. I don't really care about what you've done in your past. I don't care where your story. Everybody in here, we all got different stories. The conversation is not about yesterday. The conversation is about today. Ain't that good news? Ain't nobody talking about yesterday. Ain't nobody talking. Everybody, we're talking about today and we're talking about the future. That as you walk in your future, God created you for commitment. He created you for devotion. He created you for love. And anything that don't look like God's love, I'm asking you to walk out. Because it's imitation. And imitation cheese don't go down. I'm done. If you're here on this morning, and you realize, you know what? I've been selling myself short. I've been entertaining and talking to people that I shouldn't be talking to. You know what? I've been doing things physically and sexually and relationship-wise trying to fill these gaps. And I realize I do that because I don't have enough faith in God to hold me down. If you found out that you're really not walking in the way of the Lord, I'm asking for you to turn around. If you're here this morning and you realize, you know what, I really do need to begin my relationship with Jesus Christ, this invitation is given to you. It's time to turn around. It's time for you to see yourself the way God sees you. Stop having Genesis chapter 16 conversations and get back and look at the stars and look at what God is trying to tell you. At some point between chapter 15 and 16, he took his eyes off the stars and he went and looked at something beneath. And I promise you, you will never get what you're praying for trying to fill your gaps on your own. You're only going to damage your marriage. You're only going to damage your relationships. You're only going to damage your life trying to fill in gaps by your own power and your own strength. This invitation is given to you. I pray you receive it with your whole heart as we together stand and sing a verse of a song.